the website. We have got a nice shell in this, at this point, up and running that we're just, that we're in the middle of populating. We've got that approximately 50% complete, and we anticipate rollout of the finality of that probably sometime in January.
On that website, can is there a place where people can make complaints or claims?
Yes, we. I'm going to have a link on there that says there's actually a couple of things. One of them is going to be Ask the Auditor. It's going to be just a forum where they can come in and submit a question to us and ask us about something that's going on in their area or whatnot. And then there will also be another section that'll have an, that we're going to try to get an email address specific to internal audit is one thing that I still need to do, so that we can have questions directed to that particular email address to internal audit, so we can, you know, provide additional insight. They can come in and they can provide us whatever they want. So it'll be a good, it'll be a good area for them. We will, you know, work with others to make sure we roll this out properly, that we get it communicated out to the university community in a timely fashion once it's up and running. So again, just some of the other things that we're going to do is we're going to keep working on some of the infrastructure items and as well as finalize that website. At that point, I'm open to any questions.
Are there any questions?
There are no questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Is there a report from Dr. Carol Carson Warner? Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Sylvia Gist, Dean of the College of Education, and I have with me Ms. Jamil Barnes, who is the Assistant Director of the Textbook and Learning Materials Project. I'm representing Dr. Carol Carson Warner. She had an emergency today, so I will be presenting for her. This is to give the board an idea, or really a brief summation of the financial and the programmatic arrangements and accomplishments for the Textbook and Learning Material Project, GANA. Just to give you a little bit of background information, this is a project that was funded by USAID for $13 million. It was awarded over a three-year period. We're in the second year of this particular contract. Our obligation is to print at least 4 million books, or approximately 4 million book pupil workbooks and teacher guides, and distribute those throughout the country of Ghana. So at present, we have, we actually made a trip to Ghana in November, and the whole purpose of that particular trip was to finalize the printing with Buck Press, who we have contracted with to print the books. Actually, Buck Press has printed a majority of those 4 million books, and we definitely will, while we were there in November, we started making arrangements for distribution of those books. The grant does not cover the distribution. The distribution costs will be covered by the Ghana Education Services. So we did make some headway there at the for the distribution during that November visit. Additional information about the project, one of the components was to make sure that an evaluation or assessment be done of the extent to which the books have been used, the ones that were printed and distributed in the past, and also the impact of their use. So at that particular, with that in mind, we had a research team from the College of Education that was headed by Dr. Athanas Gahungu, and they traveled to Ghana in July, and they did some research, or they did, they completed the research and they're compiling that, and we should have a final assessment report done by December 31st. That is the targeted date. I believe that there are some items that were brought for distribution to the board. Dr. Carol Carson Munna said that she would bring those items, but there are some actual other deliverables that we have actually compiled as a result of that particular trip in by the assessment team or the evaluation team in July. One of the things that we did take a group of students to Ghana, and they were trained as field researchers, but one of the products of that particular trip that was delivered by the students was a photo journal titled I See Me in You, and that should be available for distribution. Or maybe it was distributed, I'm not sure.
Not yet.
Okay. If the board would like to have those distributed at this time before I discuss them, what's your pleasure?
What is?
There's a photo journal.
Okay, we'll take a look at them.
Okay, and then there's also a CD that I believe she said she brought for distribution. Okay, and there is a video presentation that is on the CD if you would distribute that also.
I have a question, just out of curiosity. While they're over there doing this work, does anybody... No, I think it's a wonderful program. But my question is simply, do we kind of advocate for these students to possibly consider coming to our school as a foreign exchange student, or is there some type of give and receive? Like, do we let them know that, you know, our university is an option, maybe later on down the line? Just, you know.
Well, actually, six of our students traveled to Ghana, and we paired them with six students in Ghana as a student research team. That is probably part of a long-range plan, if we can get additional funding for that. Right now, we are trying to make sure that we train the teachers to use the materials, and of course, our students will be involved in that training. We, when we were there in November, we started discussions on whether the teachers would be brought to the U.S. to be trained, or whether we would go over there and train them on how to use the textbooks and the other learning materials. But students are definitely a part of the plan, and this is really sort of the first year that we had students actively involved in the project. So that is possibly a long-range goal. It's not a part of the funded project.
Yeah, I understand it's not a part of that, but I would like to see maybe, possibly, that maybe that could be added onto the side to let them know that we do have international studies programs. You know, later on down the line, they might want to consider coming over here and coming to our university as well as they get older. Just, you know.
Well, we do have, and I don't recall the names of the students, I believe one or two students who are actually matriculating here and who were recruited as a result of this particular project. I believe one has graduated or even got a degree because this project started in 2006. So definitely that is a projected outcome. Okay, I believe the, I'm sorry.
This is a related question, not to the educational part. 4 million books is a lot of paper. I had the great opportunity to review some of the books, which I thoroughly enjoyed. They're very beautiful. And there is an extension on the environment. And we're all concerned about the environment. I'd like to know what the source of that paper is, and if it is indeed recycled paper. And I also like to know about the toxicity of the ink.
The source of the paper?
The source of the paper and the ink, you know, so that they're potentially vegetable-based ink, soy-based ink, and not toxic lead based?
Okay. Actually, I'm not prepared to answer that right now, and I'm not sure whether my assistant
right.
is, but definitely we can contact Buck Press and get that to you in the very near future. I definitely report at the next board meeting.
Right, and I just, in general, like the university to consider these 2 points.
Yes, absolutely, it is a lot of paper. Totally agree with that. Continuing with what the students have done, actually, on in addition to preparing that I See Me and You photo journal, they did travel to Culver City, California in October, and they made a presentation of their field research and their observations while they were in Ghana. They made this at the this presentation at the Association of Black Women in Higher Education National Conference. Got some very good input on that. And then the video presentation, which was recently distributed, that was done as a result of the students' work. So they actually are, our students definitely are being involved in the project. And finally, what you don't or may not have on your report is doing International Week here at CSU. I believe that was headed or spearheaded by Tiffany Hope. There was a competition, and the students for this particular project came in first place for their presentation on their Ghana experience. So we're very proud of that. And definitely, we will be publicizing that more extensively here on campus. Teacher training, as I said earlier, we started negotiation. We are really interested in making sure that the program is sustainable. And one of the ways to make sure that we gain a sustainability is to train the teachers. And we are going to, or we're planning to use the train the trainer model. Right now, we are trying to determine whether we will bring them over here for training, or whether we will have our College of Ed faculty go over to Ghana and do the training there. So that's where we are at that particular at this particular point. There are some other items that is I believe appears in your report and related to what we're currently doing as far as editing the books for. Primary grades 1 through 3, because those books have been written and now they're being edited and they will be published or printed at a later date. And that concludes my report. If you have questions, I will be happy to answer. Ms. Barnes, or we also have our accountant here.
I have a couple of comments, question. I think the program's going great. With reference to the issue of whether you'll bring teachers here or go there, whatever strategy you use, I'm putting on my hat as former director of the U.S. Peace Corps in 2 countries in Africa. One of the things we always look at is cultural appropriateness. And sometimes that gets left out when it's only the Western side doing all the planning for the African side. That's the downside of bringing people here. Also, I heard about books and paper and all that. Appropriate technology is the other issue we always address. What's appropriate technology here is not always appropriate technology somewhere else. And so we can't impose our idea of technological appropriateness without some collaborative conversation, because it also involves resources. And what resource do they have access to, whatever is culturally appropriate at that time. So, and the other is cultural sensitivity. And you only learn what cultural sensitivity from dealing with your host country people. So I hope that when you put any training module together, you address all three of those issues in collaboration with the people you're trying to deliver this service to.
Definitely, we appreciate that input, and we will definitely take that into consideration. And I might say that from working with the Ghanaians for at least the past 5 years, they make sure that whatever we do is culturally appropriate and also culturally sensitive. that is definitely their agenda. So, but we definitely will take that into consideration.
Yes, and let me add, I had the same concern about cultural appropriation and appropriateness, and also the concern about language. And so you shared some of the books with me, or I have some of the books, and I found them very well done in that regard. And I also had an opportunity to talk to a man from Nigeria, and my question about the English language. And he really educated me into knowing that English is like a global language, and why it's really important for these students to be learning English. And in addition, that the country has multiple dialects, and they can't communicate with each other.
Absolutely.
And English could be that language where they can communicate with each other. So I appreciated that, and thank you for sharing the books with me.
You're welcome. And just to add to that, I believe it's starting in first grade, all of the students, even though they're educated in their mother tongue, they have to start learning English. So it really promotes the agenda, the Ghanaian agenda.
Well, it's a former Anglophone country, so most of them speak English anyway.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Appreciate your report. Athletics update, Mr. Davis.
Good morning.
Morning.
Happy holiday season to everyone. Sudie Davis, the athletic director.
Thank you.
Give you some highlights of our athletic department, what's going on since last time we had a meeting. Chicago State University was invited with five of the other Chicago area Division I teams, CSU, DePaul, Iola, Northwestern, UIC, and they had an annual basketball luncheon, which they have at Maggiano's downtown, for press reasons. Supposed to go off last year, went off very well. This year, the problem with it was the day of elections. So we had cameras running in and out, and we didn't get many interviews going as the year before. So CSU, we hosted a basketball tip-off here at Chicago State, our sports media day in the Emil Patricia Jones Convocation Center, where we house. We have a media room, and we invited media up. We had BBM TV, WMAQ, WGN, WFLD, WCSU TV, and WVON. It came out, and what they did, they interviewed our coaches, gave them time to talk about their teams and what they've been doing and what they were forecasting for them for the season, which went very well. Men cross country, we had an athlete, Matthew Jordan, who had an outstanding season. He hit some highlights for CSU and some CSU records in his races in 10K as well as Great West Conference. Men basketball, we had a young man, Carl Montgomery, who joined the 1,000 Point Club here. And our opening game against Concordia, he played very well that night. Our first year coach, Tracy Dilde, has been working very hard as his recruiting this year. He signed a couple of top players that will be joining us next year. It's been very interesting to work with Coach Dilde. Our selection of Coach Dilde was very important because of his Chicago ties. In my office, I've had families, coaches of number one players in the city, number one players in the state, talk about making Chicago State their first choice instead of a rebounding choice. That's very interesting to us. That's what we want to be. Those are the type of players we need that would help us move our athletic program and our basketball program. Volleyball this year, Chicago State, we hosted the Great West Conference Volleyball Championship in the Convocation Center. We have a volleyball floor that we can put down. We had a whole conference there. It was a great overall effort of the program here at Chicago State. We had the janitors, we had the electricians, we had the engineers, we had the volunteers, we had our students, we had our athletes, our department. We all worked very hard to put this on. And the conference was very pleased with the outcome of our efforts. They went so far as to want to award Chicago State the Great West Conference basketball championships for the next 2 years after this year. They'll be housed here in Chicago. Women's basketball has been doing very well. Their record right now is 3-5. We had some very impressive games against two schools in our area. One was against Northern. We lost by 2 points. And the other one was against Northwestern, I think, where my president's come from, and we lost by 2 points. But he promised me that if he was there, that he could get us those 2 points next time. We're gonna make sure he's right down front with us.
His divided loyalties.
Well, you know, we have to pull him on this side. He's wearing green and white now, so that's important for us. The basketball women's team is picked to have a high finish this year in the season. They're playing very well. Courtney Walden finished 11th nationally, 3-point percentage last year, and they're playing very well this year. So we're hoping that you guys come out over the holiday and see them play.
Can you make sure you send us that schedule?
Oh, yes. Okay. And it's also on the web. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'll make sure today you'll have a home schedule when you leave here.
Okay.
So you can put on your wall. It's about so big, big print. Okay.
In our office.
Yeah, in your office. Right. Women's cross country, we had an athlete, Jennifer Stanford. She's been running very well. Our recruiting effort has been going very strong for the fall sports. A new coach that we have in volleyball now is out recruiting very, very strongly. He's had a lot of families in my office again, as well as Coach Dilley, bringing in some of the top volleyball players in Chicagoland area. A lot of them are from the south suburb and the western suburb. Bob Eskew is from that area. He coached at Bloom, and he knows all the clubs and all the people. So it's very important that we have a coach like that here at Chicago State University. Men's golf, we have a new men's golf coach, Mr. Marty Sheen. Sheen was a professional golfer, been in this area for the last 9 years. He competed in the 5 years open tournaments and captured 3 Illinois Open titles during his professional playing career. Marty is also the president of the Junior Golf Association for this area in Chicago. So from his pool and what he's been around and his teachings at 5 or 6 different clubs in Chicago, land area, he would have a big recruiting pool for us here at Chicago State University. The biggest change that I've seen that we work very hard at with the coaches has been their recruiting styles, because we've changed the profile of the athletes that we're bringing in. We're not just grabbing athletes. We're looking at the academic phases that these athletes are in. We're looking at their backgrounds and where they're coming from. And also, we're really talking about our environment here at Chicago State. So we've been working very hard with building programs here at Chicago State so the students will have an excellent time dealing with student well-being here on campus and making sure they fit with Chicago State University. So it's a different profile, it takes a little time, but it's worth it because we're really concentrating on retention, not just grabbing athletes and they come in for a couple of months and they want to get out of here. So I think things are going pretty well.
I do have something. There have been student athletes who have complained of not receiving the promised amounts of monetary tuition assistance, or if they did receive it, it was too late in the semester to register or apply. Some students, athletes expressed frustration with the athletics department for either being cut physically or financially due to lack of meeting performance standards, but not being notified directly, and having to find out by the remaining balance due on their accounts, or being told of a financial hold, which would prevent them from registering and possibly compromising their accessibility to being in the dorms or graduating on time. Would you be able to speak on any of this?
I can speak on that, but that hasn't been brought to our attention because all of our scholarships are brought from the beginning of the year. They're signed, those deals are not changed. Anytime something happens like that, that would happen on an off season if there's a reduction or something happens to an athletic scholarship. So everything we've signed has been put forth, so we have nothing like that in my office.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Mark Sipich. I'm the business manager in athletics. Some of those issues that we are finding also is that there are certain requirements that each of the athletes have to submit at the financial office in order for their scholarship to be applied. So we are going in and making sure that those are getting done and then making sure and helping those athletes get those different items and credentials into the financial aid office so their loans can be applied. Again, my name is Mark Sipich. I want to just talk about some of the financial highlights that we're looking at of how athletics is progressing towards their goals in the 5-year strategic plan that we were submitted previously. In the past, one of the larger areas of financial support that athletics is able to obtain is guaranteed funds from some of the game competitions that we have with other larger institutions, mainly in our basketball sports. In the past, in this financial highlights that I've presented here, in 2008, we had some $222,000 of financial guarantees. In 2009, we had $258,000 in financial guarantees for games. In 2010, we came down to $171,000 in financial guarantees. With our new head coach this year, he has gone out and secured various game contracts to a total of $660,000 of game guarantees. In our budget for the fiscal year 2011, we had accounted for $460,000 of game guarantees for the current fiscal year. So right now, with the game contracts that we do have, we have an excess of $200,000 of game guarantees that will be coming in just from the men's basketball alone. That $200,000 gives us the ability to start working with reducing the deficit that athletics has had that sits out on the balance sheet to start paying that back for the support that the university has given us. There are also some other game guarantees that some of the other sports are going to have this year. Right now, the women's basketball has $20,000 of game guarantees. We're going to have received another game guarantee for baseball of another $5,000. So there are more and more of these game guarantees coming through. We are working with the athletic director, Mr. Davis, and the head coaches are looking at it and diligently obtaining various contracts to be able to get or to obtain some of these game guarantees in the coming years as well, so we can become a self-sufficient entity here at the university and really improve on what's happening with the athletics department. The other thing that, another area that we have for revenue is what they call gate receipts for when we have home games here at Chicago State University. Currently, our prices for games, for basketball games, is $8 per ticket. That's our highest rate. We do have a reduced or discounted rate for faculty and staff for Chicago State of $6. And then the students get into all of the regular season game competitions for free by just showing their ID, saying that they're a current student. I went back to 2009. Our gate revenues for 2009 were only $2,122. Back in 2010 was only $1,306. Though that's what we were pulling in for people coming to see CSU and actually paying to come in and see the games. So far this year, our gate revenues at CSU is $5,567. That is comprised of $3,107 that was generated from the volleyball conference championship. And then in the two games that the men and women basketball teams have had, the women have brought in $403, and the men's team has brought in $1,973. right now we have exceeded any of the gate revenues that we've had in the last couple of years. And we still have another 8 games coming for this season so far that our men and women will be playing. The other area that we're looking at, and the reason that gate revenues and attendance is so important, is because this can give us an ability to be able to showcase Chicago State University and also generate some needed revenue to ease the burden of what the athletics department puts onto the university in the appropriated funding. I just roughly did some, had a scenario of the Jones Convocation Center can seat about 5,500 people in the at a athletic competition. Just at a current rate of $8 per ticket, and selling 5,000 of those tickets would generate $40,000 of revenue and gate revenue for each competition that we have. And we've been averaging between 10 to 13 competitions at our home court. That can generate another $400,000 in revenues, and that's our goal of where we want to go. That's why with bringing in Mr. Dildy, we've already seen the increase in the attendance at our games. We're seeing the increase in the competition that we are playing, which is generating some of those the game guarantees, as well as increasing the excitement of the basketball teams. And then the final thing that we've been doing in athletics under the directive of our president and looking at prior planning has come through and given athletics the ability to be able to purchase their airline tickets in advance. Last year, we spent about $470,000 in travel. And so far currently this year, we've booked all our flights, and I believe the figure right now is roughly about $225,000 in travel that we've had. So that's giving us a considerable amount of savings in just in the travel side on airfare alone, because with being in our Great West Conference, we do travel to various other teams in our conference. But then also, our coaches are looking at, in the coming years, of starting to be more local as well, so they don't have to travel as much in with some of the games that they play. Some of the teams, it makes it tough, especially like with baseball. In the springtime, in March, it's still a little cold here, so we don't know whether we're going to have snow or not. So they do go a little south. So they will have some, but with the prior planning in that, we've maintained some of the costs on those two trips. Last year, those trips cost us $40,000. This year, it's only $22,000. So we are looking at that, and with the prior planning in the direction of our president, we're looking at helping and doing the best we can with all the struggles that we have at the university.
Thank you. It's good to see some the fiscal attention paid to fiscal management and the savings and the revenue. So I'm assuming that you have a plan to fill up that stadium. So yeah. We look forward to hearing that too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Questions?
I'm happy to hear about restricting the travel because that's been one of my concerns, not only because of the cost, but also because I think students need to be studying. And taking them too far away, I think there's a bit. But I happen to be on the I think the Green Line train, and I saw an ad for Chicago State University. What a wonderful school it was, and people should come, and I was so proud to see it. So I wonder, how are we marketing our sports? I could see something like that on the Green Line, the Red Line and the Blue Line. What is the marketing plan? Remind me what it might be. And the other thing would be, what are we doing in the community to bring in people who might walk here? And could there be like a reduced rate? You know, if you would say you're show your driver's license or something. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe we can give them a dollar.
But just to really attract people and to get them addicted to the, you know, coming here, and then we have a dedicated audience to our sports.
Well, over the holiday, we have a plan that we tried last year. All the houses that face Secaucus State University, we're trying to get our players to go over and knock on the doors and give their families some tickets. Our president has also dealt with Section 24 of CPS, and he's given them some free tickets to come in, about 600, I believe, to help fill these things. And understanding that 600 people might come, but you know, they're gonna bring other people with them. You know, even our halftime stuff we've done, we had the Biddy basketball players in the other night. One of them was so short, he was holding his shorts and the ball instead of running down the court. We had probably about 60 of them on the floor, and the parents were in the stands. And even though the parents got in free, but they brought other people to see the kids play. So there's a lot of things that we can do to move this thing forward. We also, we're working with the university's plan in terms of reaching out to other constituents in the community about Chicago State University. The signs were excellent. We saw some on the buses this summer. We've seen them on the expressways. The biggest sign we have is right here on campus behind our building. When the IC goes by, it says Chicago State University. We have our tennis courts up and has Chicago State and has a sign when they drive by. So we're trying to do a lot of things to do there. And there's money and there's a potential to do that, and that's the direction we're moving in. Yeah. Well, thank you guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Good morning, trustees.
Good morning.
I'm C. Cole Dillon. I'm the Chief Information Officer. I'd like to review with you the report that we submitted with respect to our activities since the last board meeting. We continue just to work away at the demands of the university to provide electronic services. In particular, we are very proud of the way that the website is developing and the embrace of the university community for the website. And they make sure that when there's something going on, that they get the information into the website to have it up. And so we are frequently changing what's going on, and we're doing a good job of engaging the community with respect to key initiatives that are going on here at Chicago State, including making sure that the community is notified whenever we are going through a accreditation process. So you'll see we have the self-study up for the NCAA. Previously, we had announcement of the HLC accreditation process. And we make a point of trying to engage the community about the significant accomplishments of CSU alumni, including doing a salute to our alumni legislators. We have 10 sitting legislators. It's the third highest in the state behind the University of Illinois, which of course is the state's flagship university, and Loyola University. So we're quite proud of that as well. In addition to being really embraced with the website, groups are embracing the Cougar Connect portal, and they're using it to communicate, to share information, to post documents for sharing, so we're very proud of the way that they're using electronic services. In our report, we discussed the iPad initiative. There are 525 freshmen, 478 freshman students picked up their iPads, which of course means that 42 students did not pick them up, and that was at the time that I wrote this report. Since that time, there have been three other students who did come in and pick up their iPads. Five students returned them largely because they had iPads that they had been given from their family, so they returned the university iPad. And we just now got the sixth one back, and that student is withdrawing from school because of a family relocation. You saw in the financial report an increase in leasing related to the HP hardware, and that's all about doing a Banner 8 upgrade. We're a little bit behind schedule with respect to getting that upgrade because we ran into a power problem. But in working with the university president and Mr. Meeks, as well as Alan O'Neill and staff, we have broken ground on a project to provide adequate power to the university. So that project's underway, and we will be back on track with our HP upgrade and the Banner 8 upgrade. We have confirmed the bid and started the process of developing the plan for expanding Wi-Fi on campus. So the system that was chosen was a system called Maru. What that's going to mean for students and faculty is as soon as they hit campus, we will authenticate them for the network, and wherever they go, inside or out, they will have access to wireless service. And we think that that's an important part of being a 21st century university. We're also in the testing phase of Active Directory, which does a couple of things for us. One, it allows us to have an exchange server, which is a modern email communication system, but it also allows us to provide for greater security on the network by being able to identify all of the machines and systems that are on the network and ensuring that they're secure, as well as being able to push to those machines antivirus programs to keep the network safe. And the last thing in our report is BlackBerry Enterprise Server, which will come out as part and parcel of the Exchange project, which will allow for us to facilitate wireless communication with executives and faculty members who have wireless devices. So what we can see about electronic development here at the university is that the demand for it grows faster than our ability to deliver, but we continue to work hard at it. I think what we've seen in the last 13 months is nothing short of a miracle in terms of when I got here a year ago on November 2nd, we had a network outage almost every day. We've had two network outages since then, both caused by somebody plugging something into the device, but not because of a failure of network systems. So we're very proud of that record, and every day we continue to strive to improve our ability to deliver state-of-the-art electronic services to the university. That is my report, and are there any questions?
The one thing in our next report next quarter, could you give us a sort of a summary of the kind of access our faculty has to technology and sort of the efforts to improve and enhance and educate? I know you did that with the iPads in terms of making sure faculty wanted that access. But, you know, as you said, that, you know, technology is the driver. So I just want to make sure that, you know, all of our faculty is getting the access that they need, and we're pushing people who don't want it to get it.
Okay, so I will probably do that in conjunction with Dean Richard Darger, who is the dean of the library, and under the auspices of the library, we have the Center for Technology and Resources in Education, which takes the lead on campus for providing technology access and education in the academy. Of course, I partner with them and I provide a lot of services, but they actually take the lead for delivery. But I will take that with Dean Darga and we will come back and make that presentation.
Okay, that'd be great, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Angela Hopgood, and I'm the Grant Administrator for the Office of Sponsor Programs for Grants and Research Administration. Dr. Yvonne Harris is going to be here today, so I'm going to take her choice. Out of the total grants received by the university faculty and staff was $36.26 million. Of that $36 million, $9.13 million came from federal and state grants, and $27.13 million came from financial aid. The federal grants received was like $4.2 million, and the state grants was about $4.88 million, so they're pretty much running neck and neck. Our largest contributor to the state grant was from the Department of Children and Family Services, representing 63% or $3 million. And the Department of Education for federal grants was 44%, representing about $1.89 million. Of the federal and state grants, the projected amount for indirect cost revenue is $630,000. That's my report for the grants and research administration. Are there any questions? I also have a resolution for a grant that we got from the Department of Education entitled Combined Priority for Personal Development. This is Dr. Browntree, and it's her grant, so she can read the resolution.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We are asking for approval to receive and administer a grant entitled Combined Priority for Personnel Development. Whereas Chicago State University has received a grant from the U.S. Department of Education in the amount of $299,987,000, the grant called Facilitating Occupational Therapist Collaboration in Urban School-Based Practice seeks to address the shortage of occupational therapists registered and licensed who need to provide service for children with disabilities within high-need local educational agencies in urban settings. These efforts will increase the number of highly qualified occupational therapists registered in hard-to-staff settings such as high poverty areas and low performing schools. The period covered by this grant is January 1st, 2011 through December 31st, 2011. Therefore, it is resolved that Chicago State University approves the accompanying grant and that the board hereby provide approval to the university to activate and administer the grant in accordance with relevant state and federal regulations. I'm available for questions on this.
So this is another grant where we are, you know, sort of the clearinghouse for various projects related to the grant. Are any of these projects, grant projects, on the university campus?
All of them. It's actually going to provide student support. It's a student training grant for students to complete their Master's of Occupational Therapy. Mm-hmm. So it provides full support for 22 students, mm-hmm. as well as a mentoring program mm-hmm. with therapists who are currently practicing in the school systems mm-hmm. and we'll also support service learning activities that the students will engage in with other public schools within the Chicagoland area. And the unique portion of this grant is that we have a collaboration with the College of Education and the Department of Social Work to sponsor a interdisciplinary conference regarding meeting the needs of children with disabilities in public schools, and we're going to be holding that here on campus once a year.
Okay. Will it be next year, the conference?
Yes.
2011?
Mm-hmm.
But even with the providing support for 22 students and mentoring and the service, that's still a lot of money, you know, $299 million? There's a typo.
That's what
I was thinking. $299 million.
That's
like
bigger than our budget.
Yeah, I'm some meats is somewhere trying to get. Okay, all right. We'll fix that typo.
I wondered about that.
It's still a great program. Thank you. Do I have a motion with regard to? Do you have a question?
Yes, deep in the fine print, mm-hmm. and I don't know if you know anything about this, but I was just wondering why on the grant award notification number one, it refers to Association of Community Organizations for Reform Now, or ACORN. Do you have any idea why that would be in there?
Where are you, ma'am?
It's the grant award, Department of Education grant award notification document.
Okay.
The fine print, item number one. And that talks to the first two, in that paragraph, the association with the mayor.
Oh, sure.
We don't have, do we have any association with them, or? You don't know, okay. I just.
No, I'm not sure.
It was a big political issue.
What page are you on? Are you on page 2 of 3, or the page 3 of 3?
Page 2 of 3, correct.
And he said paragraph number one?
Number one, terms and conditions.
Terms and conditions.
As far as I know, Acorn doesn't exist anymore, at least under that name.
No.
Okay, so you don't know.
No.
Okay, all right. Just curious how it got buried in there.
Basically, you just said you can't provide any of this money to Acorn.
Right.
Wow. Okay.
Be careful what we sign.
Well, it just says we can't provide any of it. Or you have to notify them if you intend to.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, yeah, is there a motion to approve the resolution?
Yes, I move that we approve this resolution to administer the grant entitled Combined Priority for Personnel Development.
Is there a second?
What's the actual dollar amount, the correct dollar amount?
To put out the dollars. Is it correct dollar amount on the resolution, $299,987?
Yes, it is.
As modified.
I second the motion.
Trustee Carol.
Yes.
Trustee Scott.
Yes.
Trustee Samuels.
Yes.
Now, any employee or public comments? Seeing none, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move that we adjourn.
I second the motion.
Trustee Carol.
Yes.
Trustee Samuels.
Yes.
Trustee Scott.
Yes. Thank you.